Amen. Amen. How's everybody tonight?
Great. Awesome. Super.
Super, yeah. All right. Well, last week when I was up front, I told you I was going to do a series of probably 2 to 3 messages out of Numbers 32. So we're going to go into the positive one, I think, tonight. So if you turn over to Numbers 32... just before they're getting ready to head into the promised land. We talked about Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe Manasseh saw that the land was great for their livestock and they kind of wanted to linger on the other side, you know, the comfort over conflict, you know, self over service type of a deal. And we went through that part last week where Moses said to them when they wanted to take care of their livestock and their families on the east side of the Jordan, Moses said to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Reuben, in verse 6, shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit here? So we talked about that last week, and Moses does a little recap of their previous history. And he talks about what happened when he sent the spies into the land. Originally, he took the land about 38 to 40 years prior. And he says, the Lord's anger burned in that day, and he swore, saying, and that's where we're going to pick it up in verse 11 here, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. Okay, so let's open with a word of prayer and then we're going to go over to Numbers 14. Great God, we thank you again for the word which you have preserved. Truly one of the greatest miracles you have ever performed outside of really bringing Christ into the world and raising him from the dead so that he would be seated upon the throne of majesty on high. Father, so grateful that we can turn to it, that we have it there. To learn from and to use as a lesson the principles that you convey to us through those Old Testament examples. Just grateful again, Father, for the privileged opportunity that I have to be before your people. Pray that the message I bring tonight will be true to your word, will be geared in a manner that will equip and encourage my brethren, edifying their faith. And in so doing, I know, Father, it will bring glory and honor to you. So I pray this and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to Numbers 14. This is really where this was first said concerning Caleb. This is again immediately after they'd gone into the land and with the 12 spies in Numbers 13. Now, you know, Moses intercedes. Don't wipe out the people, Lord. Okay? So the Lord says in verse 20 of Numbers 14, so the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word, Moses' request. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and do not listen to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. So this is where Caleb is first said that he is a man of a different spirit and has followed the Lord fully. Now I think it goes without saying that Joshua would probably be included in that group since he was along with Caleb who went and come back and gave the positive report. So, you know, we have the admonition from Romans 15:4 that says, you know, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction and our example. That through this, these examples, we would have perseverance and hope through the Scriptures. So, these things are written so that we can understand how they apply to us. And that's really the mindset we have to have on the Old Testament. Whenever you're looking at that stuff, put those New Testament glasses on, read it like you're reading it as it was being written to the New Testament church. Because I'm going to tell you, Joshua, the son of Nun, had a previous name. His name was Hoshea. Hoshea means deliverer. Joshua means Yahweh saves. Caleb, well, you can look at his name here. There's a bunch of things you'll get when you look at his name. But basically it means to have like a, almost like a bulldog attitude. It's kind of rooted in the word dog, believe it or not. But it means faithful, devoted, all right? So it's like a, if you can put a picture in your mind of Caleb was like a dog that gets a hold of something, won't let go of it. I've got a little miniature schnauzer and I like to toy with him every now and again. And I'll put something down here, we call it his baby, whatever toy it is, and he'll get a hold of it, and all I got to do is yank it around. And Mike and Katya have seen this, and Mike's actually done it to him as well. Mike's terrible at tormenting my dog. But anyway, we'll get him down here, and he will not let go, will he, Mike? Just hang on to it for everything. Well, that's kind of the image I get of Caleb as one who followed the Lord fully and had a different spirit. So Caleb, remember, and Joshua, you read all the things about these two guys. They never had any competition or any issue with one another. You know why? They were like-minded. They were like-minded. See, so Joshua is the foreshadow or the type of Jesus, obviously. So who would Caleb be the foreshadow or the type of? Duh. The church. You know, we're like-minded. We follow the Lord fully, right? Who's our Lord? Yeshua. Jesus in Greek. Right? Jesus. So we can see that this is all about Christ and the church again. Really what it's about. It's about the character that the church should possess, and Caleb is presented as the individual that we should seek to emulate. Now remember, Caleb had a different spirit. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, brethren. He had a different spirit. And really what it comes down to, Caleb's whole different spirit was he had a mindset on the things of the Spirit. I really liked my brother Dave's Lord's Supper. He smoothed me right in and paved the road for this message real well for me. See, Caleb was one who had a different mindset than his brethren, the other 10 that went into the land with him. You got to remember that story. When they went into land, they came out, they have a rod of some sort, stick, some kind of rod, stick, between two guys, and they're carrying a cluster of grapes on it. That's how bountiful and fruitful the Lord was. Of course, Caleb's eyes are this big. Whoa! You see the place? He sees all the good fruit to come from this land, doesn't he? You know, he is excited. The other, oh, all we saw is everything in the land's big, including these big dudes called the Anakim. Oh, and they live in fortified cities. Oh, we cannot do it. So, you know, they were convinced, can't win. So Caleb, you know, he actually takes them all. You can go back and read Numbers 13. I'm kind of paraphrasing, using my own special way of communicating this, which you guys know me so well to do. But he says, what's wrong with you guys? Let's not delay. Their protection's been removed. That's what he tells them. Their protection's gone. We got the Lord with us. We can surely do this. Let's not delay. Let's go. That's what he says to them. No. Oh, no, we can't do that. Can't do that. We'll get whooped. They had a defeatist mental attitude, didn't they? Can't do it. Whereas Caleb says, we can do it. The Lord's with us. So Caleb's got a mindset that he says, I have seen, and that's why I read some of the context I read, the Lord says they've rebelled against me these 10 times. He talked about the signs and the wonders and the deliverance time after time after time, right? Well, guess who was paying attention? Caleb. Hey, I know this God has some pretty awesome power. We can win. And everybody that saw all this, all they could see was the problems before them, rather than the power of God that had been proven to them. That's all they saw. Problems before them. So the power of God had been proven to them. Now, brethren, what have we seen as a church? We take people through the study that the Bible is proof that it's the Word of God, right? We can prove that the Bible is the Word of God. What do? We go back and we lay out all that information, historical, right? Scientific, everything. We lay it all out. Prophetic utterances and show how it's been proven to be true. We give people the rest of the story in the immortal words of Paul Harvey, right? You know, we tell people, oh, you heard this? Now for the rest of the story. You know, do our best Paul Harvey imitation. We present the rest of the information. We lay it all out, prove to them. The Bible is accurate. It's true. We can trust our souls to the Word of God, right? It says, receive the Word and plant it. It may save your soul. Right? So, Caleb believed God. So he's a man of vision. Spiritual vision. See, he didn't see what was in front of him in terms of problems. He saw the promises and the proven power of God, and he said, done. Done. Let's go. He didn't win, of course, we know that. So, what makes Caleb such a different guy? Well, I told you he's got spiritual vision. He looks at things completely differently. He looks at the proven power of God, the evidence, and he moves on that. Brethren, that's what we're supposed to do, right? Now look, what we got is the camp of the 10 spies that are over here. Can't do it, can't do it. And over here is Caleb and Joshua, the deliverer, right? And the bulldog. We're going to do this, right? Can't do it. So what you got over here is the Roman 7 clan. Over here is Roman 7. Roman 7, man. Roman 7, man. I know the Lord says I should do it, but I just don't think I can. You know? Roman 7, man. And then over here you got the Romans 8 guys. We are conquered Roman 8ers, right? We can do this. Come with me if you want to live. Right? That's what they're saying. They're huddled in a mass. Brethren, the fight goes on still in the church. The scripture's clear. It teaches we can be like Christ. It's what it says. We can be like Christ. And what do most people say? Oh, we're with the 10 spies over here. We're Roman 7. And, oh, we can't do that. And where are we? Are you over there? Or are you moving to Romans 8? We can do this. I've seen God's power. It's been proven. I know I can do it. I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, was he divine, by the way? Was he divine? That's my question. No. Was he a divine partaker? Yes. The Apostle Paul says, follow me. Or what does he say? You know, imitate me as I imitate who? I want to ask you a question. Did Christ sin?
No.
Paul says, imitate me as I imitate. Yeah. What he said. It got real quiet there. Didn't hear y'all. Yo. Now, is it easy to overcome sin in someone's life? No, we're not saying that. Was it easy for Caleb to just say that? Was he just delusional? Oh, we can win. No. Caleb was not only a man of vision, he was a man of faith. He knew what God had promised. He knew he could do it because he knew God was with him. Right? And if you follow what Caleb says continuously throughout the stories that are in the Old Testament about Caleb, he's always saying, if the Lord is with me, if the Lord is with me. He's never saying, me, 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 me. No one that I know of has ever said, I can overcome sin. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the Lord's with you, I do believe you can. Scripture said so. If God says it, we believe it. That settles it, right? I wish it was that easy. It's not for many people. So Caleb is a man of vision. He's a man of faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, the 10 over there had no faith. Actually, they had a misplaced faith, brethren. They had faith, but it was a misplaced faith. They had more faith in those Anakim than they did in God. What did the Anakim prove? Nothing. Guess who took the Anakim out a little later, according to the book of Judges and Joshua? Oh, a guy by the name of Caleb. That's who. That's who took him out. See, he believed. So what are those Anakim, these fortified cities? What do they represent? All that stuff in the Old Testament, just saying the obstacles and the enemies of God that will be placed before you, Christian. I just want to ask you, you a Calebite? Yep. I am. I believe I can overcome. I know I can overcome. Because the Lord said I can. See, so I don't misplace my faith in the problems of the world. Am I concerned about some of the things going on in the world? Yep, sure am. But I don't let those problems become my faith system. Can't overcome them. Can't overcome them. We'll never overcome them. As long as I'm in the flesh, I'll never get you. And it just, you can see how that works that way. So you get a faith system of I can't do this. Rather than God's faith system, it says, well, what's impossible to men is possible with who? Who did Caleb say? If he's with me. If he's with me. If he's with me. See? We have to believe this. It's so important and critical that you believe what the Bible says, brethren. These Old Testament stories, I mean, some of those stories you read, come on. Come on. You ever had people, oh, come on. You, no, come on. Really? You believe that? Really? Yeah. Jesus did. Jesus believed it. Absolutely. He talked about Jonah being in the belly of the sea monster for 3 days. He believed it. I believe it.
Amen.
I'm not going to argue. My goodness. All those stories are true. Are they a little hard to imagine at times? I would say, yeah. That's an honest. But they're still true, and that doesn't remove their weight as evidence that things can be accomplished with God. Now this, I want you to keep putting in your mind as we're going through this. You, church, are Caleb. This is a story about you. So as I'm going through this, this is about you. This is the deliverer's like-minded companion. And that's who Christ came into the world to bring about, was a like-minded companion. Caleb was a servant. He was willing to serve. He had no problem serving under Moses. When the leadership got transferred to Joshua, he didn't jockey for power. He said, submit yourself to those in authority over you, for they give an account for your soul. Joshua said, hit the land, get in there and take it. And Caleb didn't argue. Off he went. See, when the brothers that are up front are speaking accurately from the Scripture, and some of us may be deemed as part of leadership, and they tell you, you can do this, and here's what the Scripture says, let's go. Amen? Let's go. We can do this. We can do it. Now, I understand that people are going to throw all kinds of things at you and say, you can't do it. Well, I ain't seen anybody do it. Yeah, well, really? See Paul doing it. See Paul telling the Thessalonians they're imitating pretty good. I mean, come on. It can be done. All right? So, he's a man of faith. He's a man of vision. And he's not a man that's deluded. Caleb understands, just as we should, that before you receive the blessings of God, there's going to be a few battles getting there, isn't there? He didn't just say, well, you know, the Lord's going to take him out. I'm going to sit back here. Go get him, Lord. No, he knew he had to be involved. He knew it was going to take his participation to get this thing done. So the Lord knows it's going to take our participation. Right, Caleb?
Yep.
Right? Right, Caleb? Yeah. It's going to take me, Lord. Right? So you got to get involved in this thing. You got to decide you're going to be a part of it. You decide you're going to do it with him. You need to move forward with the Lord. Be a participant. You can't expect him to do it by himself. That's being delusional, brethren. If you think that the Lord's going to take this for you without your participation, being delusional. Caleb wasn't delusional, was he? You're not delusional, right, Caleb? Come on, guys. I'm getting no response. Thanks, Casey. Getting no response. I'm a little concerned about you guys. Yeah, yes, sir. I'm not Joshua. I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to take a look and see. I must have missed a couple of things in here. Oh, yeah, here we go. I want to ask you, are you a grasshopper?
No.
There we go. Remember, they had a complex. It was called a grasshopper complex. Oh, we're like grasshoppers, huh? So, you know, there was that old show on TV years ago. Oh, a grasshopper. You know? Oh, a grasshopper, right? They had a grasshopper complex. What did Caleb have? He had a conqueror's conviction. That's what he had. See, so I want you guys to remember that. A couple other things I know that I skipped over I want to go back to. All right. A man of encouragement. Turn to Numbers 13 real quick. I didn't want to touch on this. I mentioned this, but I wanted to read this. This again, after they came back, showed them the grapes and the pomegranates and everything else. Verse 30. Actually, I want to go back up to verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." He was an encourager. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians was a church that was doing really well in the New Testament. They were the ones that were called to excel yet still more, but they were doing well. One thing you'll notice is that if you put in encourage in a word search engine, you're going to find that I think it's three times that word shows up in the book of Thessalonians, or encourage one another shows up in the book of Thessalonians. Interesting. This is a strong church doing well. What's going on? There's a whole lot of encouraging. We can get this done. Isn't there? Yeah. First Thessalonians 5, verse 9. "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Those people weren't destined for wrath. If they'd have taken the land. "We've obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." You can do it. Build each other up. We can do it. So what's the reason for the assembly? Well, to encourage one another. It says to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that good deeds. I wonder if that means the things that we can do for the Lord, right? All right. Okay. What is the legacy of Caleb's faith? That should be a question we should ask, right? That'd be a good question. So, let me see here if I can find what I want. Let's go to, I think it's in Judges 1. Pretty sure. Hang in there. Judges 1. Now you'll, back in Joshua, you'll see that Joshua led a group of guys up into Hebron and Debir. Those are two places that were going to be promised to Caleb. So you'll see that Joshua went up there first, kind of drove everybody out. Everybody that was there, he wiped out. But it appears some had escaped and come back. So when you see in, I think it's in Joshua 14, you see that Caleb goes up and he's the one that finally wipes them out completely. Wipes them out completely. And it says, "Not then the land had peace from war." It was after Caleb went up. In verse 11, and this is speaking about Caleb. From there, in the tribe of Judah, he went against the inhabitants of Debir. Now, the name of Debir, or Debir, however you want to say that, formerly was Kiriath Sepher. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kiriath Sepher and captures it, I will even give him my daughter Aksah, for a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it, so he gave him his daughter Aksah, for a wife. I don't know how you guys want to say that. No matter how I say it, it doesn't sound right. But then it came about when she came to him, his daughter comes to Caleb, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Then she alighted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. But you notice what happened here? Caleb says, "Here's what I'll give if somebody can do this." Somebody went, "Hey, I saw you do it. I can do it." See that? There was a reward there too. And it was his little brother. Isn't that amazing? Caleb's little brother. Oh, You can do it. I can do it. So it looks like uncle got niece in the deal there. Kind of unusual, I admit, but yeah, that's what he got. Now, let's keep reading in Judges. See what happens with the rest of these guys. Okay, let me see. I want to pick up in about... trying to see how far back I need to go. 19. We'll just read 19. We're going to jump down to a few other verses. Judges 1:19. Now the Lord was with Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had iron chariots. Then they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had promised, and he drove out from there the three sons of Anak. Caleb drove them out. But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem, so the Jebusites have lived with the sons of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Likewise, the house of Joseph went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph spied out Bethel, now the name of that city was formerly Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, "Please show us the entrance of the city, and we will treat you kindly." So he showed them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go free. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and named it Luz, which is its name to this day. But Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. So the Canaanites persisted in living in the land. What a surprise. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who were living in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal, so the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Aco or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab or Akzib or Hilba or of Aphek or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. You see the picture? What they should have drove out, they didn't drive out, and they stayed there. And you'll see later on in the book of Judges here that God said he left them there to test them. To test them. See if they would be obedient, to obey him. Isn't that interesting? What's the legacy of Caleb? He wiped them out. Peace. What's the legacy of the rest of the tribes? No peace. Didn't wipe them out. Constant conflict. Constant conflict. Okay? Now, we're going to have conflict trying to take things out in our lives. I'm not trying to say we won't. But what I'm trying to say is, have you set your mind on completely following the Lord fully? If you do that, you believe what He has said, you believe that the power He has given you through the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, with the help of the Word, driven by a clean conscience, you can get this done. You can get her done. And you got to believe that. See, that's why Caleb's in the Old Testament for us as an example. Right? Now, guess what? As you go through the book of Judges, you get further down the road, and because they left all these inhabitants in there and didn't wipe them out, and we start to see the roller coaster. Say what?
Oh, yeah.
Roller coaster. Ooh. All right? That's an old song, too. I'm just changing it. Okay? That's Israelites are riding a roller coaster of up, down, and all around, right? Up they go when they get a deliverer, a judge. Down they go and they forget that they've been delivered, right? That God helped them out back into idolatry. And we see that pattern. So what do you hear preached in the churches today? Well, then power of God, blah, blah, blah. And then they start quoting who I call Prophet Yeah But. Oh, we can do that. Yeah, but we're nothing but black-hearted sinners. So what do you see in the church today? You see people riding a roller coaster, don't you, in their personal lives? Up, down, up, down. Somebody comes and says, "You can do this, you can do this." Challenges them, boy, they really get bummed, don't they? Some of them. Some people are actually hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And they go, "Yeah! You mean we can do this? Yeah! This is a message of victory? Yeah! I'm in!" Right? Guess what? Nation goes, guess who the first judge is, brethren? Wild guess. He's been mentioned. No, it's not Caleb. Do you remember a little brother? After Joshua died? Guess who the first judge was? Caleb's little brother. He was a deliverer. Isn't that something? So, again, the legacy of Caleb. We can do this. We see it in his own family repeated, don't we? So, again, I just want to remind you that you are Calebites, really, in the spirit. All right? Making sure I covered everything I wanted to cover. Joshua, or Judges. I covered that. Back in Joshua, when it was told, you know, you're going to take the land. The country that Caleb was going to take, brethren, was hill or mountainous country. And he said, that mountain's mine. I wonder where I'm going. He said, that mountain is mine. He says, let me go. It's 8 o'clock. Let me go up and take that mountain and take out the enemies. So first and foremost, what did Jesus do? He was resurrected from the dead, ascended to heaven, and he took out the enemy, didn't he? He booted Satan out of heaven. He had access to heaven. Until Jesus got up there, cleaned the place up, out goes Satan and his allies, right? And down they come to the earth. But see, for us, we get the picture, just like Caleb got the picture, of the promised land. This fruit is unbelievable. Bountiful life. This is a great place to live, right? Knew there were going to be battles before we could see it fully come to fruition, right? There's going to be battles, but we have been seated in that promised land, haven't we? The Lord says, you are seated with Him in the heavenly places. You are seated with Him. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Caleb's looking up saying, yeah, there's some pretty big foes, but I'm going to take them out because that's my home. That's what he said. Well, we got a home, amen. Right on up to old Mount Zion, spiritual Jerusalem, right? Heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we are. Scripture says, put your picture there and follow the Lord fully. In the battles that come, you will be overcome whatever problem you see the world's presenting, because you believe in the power of God. And we have to believe in the power of God to get this done. And He said to us that we have a different spirit too, don't we? As a matter of fact, He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. He said, His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen? Romans 8. But He also said this spirit gives us not a spirit of timidity, right? We're not fearful. We're not huddling over here. Oh, we can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. But a spirit of what? Power. That's the first thing He said. And He finishes out saying a sound mind in some translations, or discipline. Power, love, discipline, or a sound mind. I like that. Sound mind means we have a right mindset, don't we? Sounds an awful lot like Caleb to me. So there's all kinds of foreshadows and types in Caleb that I hope you're able to see. I could probably preach 4 or 5 different messages out of the scripture about Caleb, honestly. But brethren, the important thing is, do you believe what God has said about you? Caleb believed what God said about him. He believed he could take the land. And he said, let us not delay, let's do it. So I guess the question I got for you guys is, do you think we can do it? Should we delay? Maybe we should do it. Fair enough? Fair enough? I think it's fair enough. Now, Caleb understood the purpose of God. That's what I want you guys to remember. He understood the purpose of God. And what was that? Bring the people into the promised land. What's our role here in the assembly? Equip, right? For the work of service. That's going to be a few battles. Encourage, edify, stimulate. What's the goal? The promised eternal land. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the privilege of coming, first of all, about Your table, partake of the emblems, sharing this kingdom meal with You. We know that You earnestly desired to to eat this with us in your kingdom. So we do this and have the privilege of observing it every first day of the week. Grateful, Father, that I have a seat at your table, that my brothers and sisters have a seat at your table, that we are welcome before you, and that you desire to see us there with you. Just grateful again, Father, that you continue to encourage us. I just am so grateful that the Scripture is able to be seen between two lenses, really. The lens of the flesh, which definitely would show man's shortcomings, or the lens of the Spirit, which helps us to understand what you have done for us in Christ and how you sent a helper that we may accomplish what you've asked of us in reference to our purpose and to the character that we should build and exemplify before the world. Father, I'm so grateful again that you gave us a big brother to walk before us, Christ Jesus. You gave us his example, footsteps in which we can walk. And it's a perfect example, and you've told us that we can emulate this. Father, help us to understand it's not done by thinking about me, but thinking about you working with me or with us in getting this done. We know, as Caleb said many times, if the Lord is with me, he knew then he would have victory. Well, we know, Father, you are with us. You have given us your Spirit to indwell us. So we're grateful again for this picture that you paint for us, that we can do this. Help us to understand it's done by faith. Faith in you. And faith in executing the purpose to your glory. Just praise you again for the privilege of prayer. We know that all the blessings that we receive come to us through the offering of yourself in our stead. So grateful that you show that love to us. Help us to demonstrate it to one another and to the world. Father, thank you for Caleb and the example of him, the Old Testament, helping us to understand that we are those people that you've given a different spirit to and a renewed mindset. Thank you again, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.